Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. The Bible is very clear that prior to the return of Jesus Christ, a third temple will be built in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount, and that also animal sacrifices will be given there. And so, in light of that understanding, I would like to read some interesting articles to you which reflect what I have just said. To begin with, here's an article by the Wall Street Journal, dated January 11, 2023. After a decades-long campaign to change the unwritten rules, called the status quo, Jewish prayer on the Temple Mount has become more common, and under a new Israeli government could soon become routine. Jewish activists said they hope to soon freely pray at the Temple Mount and assert Israeli control at a site that has been controlled by Muslims for centuries. Itamar Ben-Gvir, a Temple Mount activist and Israel's new national security minister, visited the site last week in a move supporters and critics saw as a step toward fulfilling his campaign promise to change the status quo. He has said the policy prohibiting Jewish prayer on the hilltop is racist and has demanded total Israeli sovereignty at the site. Mr. Ben-Gvir and other Temple Mount activists have used the language of religious equality to promote worship at a site that many Jews revere as a home of the two destroyed ancient Jewish temples. Some want to build a third temple there in the future. The vault, roughly 36-acre tree-lined plaza, is the location of the sacred Al-Aqsa Mosque, Islam's third holiest site, after the Great Mosque in Mecca and the Prophet's Mosque in Medina, both in Saudi Arabia. It is also the site of the Golden Dome of the Rock, a 7th-century shrine that defines Jerusalem's skyline. The dome houses a rock that Muslims believe is a spot from which the Prophet Muhammad traveled to heaven to converse with God. The site is administered by Jordanian religious authorities as part of the unofficial agreement after Israel won control of East Jerusalem from Jordan in the 1967 Six-Day War. Israel kept the administration in place to calm tensions after the war. In 2004, around 6,000 Jewish worshippers entered the Temple Mount. In 2022, it was nearly 48,000, with nearly 2,000 a day during Jewish holidays. Israeli support for Jewish prayer on the Temple Mount grew to 50% last year, compared with 30% in 2016. Some Palestinians are concerned that Mr. Ben-Gvir could allow Jews to sacrifice animals on the site. As a lawyer, Mr. Ben-Gvir defended Jewish activists arrested for trying to slaughter a goat there as part of an ancient Passover ritual once performed in the temples on the site. Of course, correctly, they should have sacrificed a lamb, not a goat. During Jewish holidays such as Sukkot, which is actually the Feast of Tabernacles, and Passover, which is the Days of Unleavened Bread and the Passover season all included, when visitors are numerous, the site can see high tensions, sometimes leading to violence. Palestinians say they are concerned that any concessions to Jewish worship will lead to the site's partition and that they could face limitations on accessing the Al-Aqsa Mosque. That the situation at the Ibrahimi Mosque, or the Cave of the Patriarchs, in the West Bank city of Hebron, a site that is holy in both Judaism and Islam, and once was exclusively reserved for Muslims. A Muslim worshipper looked at quietly praying Jewish Israelis with anxiety. They don't really believe that they, or what they claim, that they are here for peaceful purposes. They are here to build another temple, he said. Rabbi Shimson Elbuim, who leads the Temple Mount Administration, another activist group where Mr. Ben-Gvir's wife, Ayala, works, hopes Israel will one day peacefully transfer the Dome of the Rock building to a neighboring Arab country, opening the way for the third temple to be built on the location. "We all want the third temple," he said. "Some people think we can do it by tomorrow, but we understand that there is a process." But as I said, the third temple is prophesied. And so are animal sacrifices which the Jews will bring in the future on the Temple Mount and ultimately in that third temple. Now, Fox News, edited on January 6, Israeli's ambassador to the UN, Gilad Erdan, said, "While the Temple Mount is sadly not yet a house of prayer for all nations," in other words, there is not yet a temple there, "it is still the right of every Jew to at least visit the holiest of holy spots." Holiest of holy, a reference to the sanctuary, that part of the temple. Now, we read about Jordan. Jordan will be a part of an alliance against Israel, so that, as the Bible says, the name of Israel may be remembered no more. We read about that in Psalm 83. And we also read that God looks at this confederacy, at this alliance, as something directed against God himself. In that light, listen to what Israel Today wrote on January 4. "The Bible is fairly clear that the physical rebirth of Israel was just an initial step, leading to a particular set of national actions that in turn lead to the nations of the world coming against the Jewish state. We are witnessing the nations of the world align themselves against the Almighty, though they fail to see it as such." We should not overlook the fact that even today, the nations of the world are definitely against Israel. Let's look at the UN. Israel 365 News wrote on January 6. "A report by UN Watch revealed that in 2022, the United Nations General Assembly approved 15 anti-Israel resolutions, as compared to 13 against all other countries combined. Since 2015, the General Assembly has adopted 140 resolutions against Israel. In the same period of time, the UN passed 68 resolutions against all other countries combined. In 2022, EU member states voted for one resolution each to criticize Iran, Syria, North Korea, Myanmar, the United States for its embargo on Cuba, and 6 resolutions on Russia's war in Ukraine. By contrast, EU states voted for about 10 resolutions on Israel. The same EU states failed to introduce a single resolution this year on the human rights situation in China, Venezuela, Saudi Arabia, Cuba, Turkey, Pakistan, Vietnam, Algeria, or 175 other countries." Now, these statistics do speak for themselves, and they show the blatant bias of the world against Israel. And that does not exclude the United States of America at this point. The Times of Israel wrote on January 7, "Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's new government is little more than a week old, but it's already given the Biden administration headaches. While Biden and Netanyahu have known each other for years, they are not close. Biden and former Obama administration officials, who now work for Biden, still harbor resentment toward the prime minister who sought to derail their signature foreign policy achievement, the Iran nuclear deal. On Friday, Netanyahu's security cabinet approved a series of punitive steps against the Palestinian leadership in retaliation for the Palestinians pushing the UN highest judicial body to give an opinion on the Israeli occupation of the West Bank. The Israeli Security Council decided to withhold millions of dollars from the Palestinian Authority and transfer those funds to a compensation program for the families of Israeli victims of Palestinian terror attacks. And it will deny benefits, including travel permits, to Palestinian officials who are, quote-unquote, leading the political and legal war against Israel. Meanwhile, Biden's administration is moving in a diametrically opposed direction. Since taking office, the administration has reversed the Trump ban on aid and provided more than $800 million in economic development, security, and other assistance to the Palestinians and the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees. Exactly 1 week before Netanyahu took office in late December, the State Department imposed but immediately waived terrorism sanctions against the Palestinian leadership, saying engagement with the Palestinians is a critical U.S. national security interest. On December 22, the State Department said it had waived travel bans on senior leaders of the Palestinian Authority and Palestine Liberation Organization because such a waiver is in the national security interests of the United States. And so the Bible is telling you that ultimately America will turn against Israel. And the Bible also is telling you something else, how God looks at it in the 12th chapter of the book of Zechariah. And I quote, "Behold," God says, "I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day," a reference to the day of the Lord, about a year prior to Christ's return, that's when it begins, "that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. In that day," he goes on to say, "the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. It shall be in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem." And in this context, let's notice another end-time prophecy. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 66 and verse 6, a scripture you can hardly forget, 666, and I'm quoting from the NIV. "Hear the uproar in the city. Hear the noise from the temple. It is the sound of the Lord repaying his enemies all they deserve." If you want to really know more about what is prophesied insofar as Jerusalem is concerned, the building of the third temple, the sacrifices, the return of Christ, how the world will turn against Jerusalem even more drastically than they're already doing it today, please ask for a free copy of our booklet, The Book of Zechariah, Prophecies for Today. The Book of Zechariah, Prophecies for Today. We'll be happy to send you your copy. And until next time, this is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.